Welcome to the Agile Revolution. This is Craig.
And this is Tony. And we have with us Joshua.
Hello there. Hi there.
Joshua Kurowski. Good to see you, Joshua.
Oh, very good to be here.
We're at Yao in Brisbane, and what's it been, about 5-6 years since you've been
it's
out?
It's been
this
a while. It's been a while, yes. I mean, it has been too long.
We actually looked it up. You were on episode 20 of our podcast.
Yes, right? You were.
Wow.
2011 when we first started doing the podcast, yeah. So we're at about 130 now.
We're at episode 21 now. So.
And, our listeners have grown to at least one maybe now?
No, there's at least three around the table.
Oh, right.
Yeah, about 27, I think, was the last count when I looked at. Anyway, so welcome to the Agile Revolution again. Repeat coming back. And what's happened in those years? I was looking back. We were talking about Limited Whip Society and Kanban and all those type of things on the podcast, which are still also very important things. But modern Agile has been more your thing for the last few years. But before we just talk about that, I just want to talk very briefly about your company, Industrial Logic.
Sure.
Who for many years have been doing really awesome. The thing I know you for, I know for two things. One is your awesome online training courses, and secondly, the XP Warcards.
Oh, yes. The Extreme Programming Playing Cards. I made those in the early 2000s and to help people learn Extreme Programming. It's part of our Extreme Programming Workshop. So, that's amazing you know about those. Yeah,
I still got three sets of them.
Oh, wow. Well, you can play other games besides War.
Yeah.
So it's designed for several games, yeah. I was very, very, very into instructional design and learning from some of the masters in the field, like Tiagi and others from the NASAGA, which is the North American Simulations and Gaming Association. So in helping people learn this stuff, it really helps to do interactive games and simulations and stuff like that. So that's that was a background I had back in the 90s and early 2000s. I really incorporated a lot of that into what we did in our workshops. We still do quite a bit of that, so it's a lot of work to create a good deck.
Yeah.
So I haven't created a new deck in a while, but
maybe a modern Agile one coming away in the future.
Actually, someone's been working on something like that, so yeah.
I look forward to that.
It's coming. Yeah, and our e-learning has been, I can't imagine not having that because it's been our laboratory. Like, if you're a consulting company and you don't actually have your hands dirty building some real product, I think you're missing out. Because building a product, trying to sell it, getting customers, keeping them happy, learning all of what you need to learn to be successful, provide a service through a product like that, it's taught us a tremendous amount of things. You know, we experimented with continuous deployment with that product, our e-learning, back around 2010. We've been doing it ever since. Just all these different types of things where it's like, let's try not using story points. We did that in 2007. We said, let's just drop them. Mm. Let's drop sprints. And we said, how would that be? And it turned out it was just fine. In fact, we were more responsive to our customers. So like a lot of what we talk about is not just stuff that we make up. We try it out on ourselves. If we think it has a hope, then we let it go a little further, see if it's successful. If it is, we try it out on our customers, assuming they're willing. Mm. And then, so the e-learning, it's intended to teach people agile skills, and that's what it's for. And there's lots of learning from it, so yeah.
And I have to say, one of our most successful podcasts was done over a friendly beer and a lunch.
As most good podcasts are.
Yes.
Talking about modern agile and the heart of agile and the manifesto and matching them up. Mm. So modern agile is the thing that you've been doing for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been talking about it for a while. I mean, our core business is really helping companies just get a lot better at software development. So it's still, for us at Industrial Logic, it's agile software development, and we're very influenced by these principles. But modern agile is a bigger movement. Modern agile is definitely recognizing that there are other people who are not building software who also want to be agile and leverage these agile and lean concepts.
But even if you are building software, you know, there's more than just the code.
There's so much more than that. So, I'm not trying to abandon the software movement. I'm just, recognizing that we talk to lots of different people who are very interested in this way of working, whether they're marketing or in HR or sales, even in hardware. We've had situations where we worked with the software teams, and then they said, could you also work with the hardware teams? To get them to sort of work in a more agile way. So modern agile has this larger focus, I guess, a bigger tent, maybe, if you will. And I still am very excited about it. I find it's very exciting for me to hear when someone says to me, you know, we were talking about Agile, using the Agile Manifesto to certain executives, and they weren't getting it. And then we started using Modern Agile, the four principles, and they just got it. Boom. And that is the stories I'm hearing. And it's really wonderful to hear this. It's like, okay, so this language from Modern Agile is really getting through to people, especially non-developers. So that's one thing.
So for those who are dipping into this podcast for the first time and have never seen the circle, what are the four principles of Modern Agile?
Oh, I don't remember them. No, I'm joking.
I'm sure you've got a sticker in your bag somewhere you can refer to.
I need a cheat sheet here. No, I'm kidding. Okay. So the first one is make people awesome. Mm-hmm. And that's the second one is make safety a prerequisite. The third one is experiment and learn rapidly. And the fourth one is deliver value continuously.
And the interesting thing is that you talk about in your talk is they relate quite closely to the four values that people know from the manifesto. So if you're still trying to hold on to that or you've already taught people on that, you're not abandoning the manifesto. It's just a more modern look on it.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is that when I worked on this stuff initially, so Modern Agile came out of sheer frustration with seeing people doing what I would now call traditional Agile or old Agile or faux Agile. And that is just seeing stuff that we literally got rid of 10 years ago and seeing them still doing it was frustrating to me because we found some simpler, easier, more streamlined ways. And it wasn't like, oh, these are advanced ways. It was like, no, this is just an easier way to get people started. Much easier. No more of this stuff that confuses them and that makes it difficult to adopt. But I've seen, like, worldwide, seeing so many people still practicing things this old way. So out of frustration, I was at an open space in Prague a couple of years ago, and I said, let's talk about modern Agile. And I just made up the words on the spot and then did a session on it. And all I did was talk about various things that we were doing, like mob programming or more of a Kanban flow type thing or lean startup techniques, lean UX, lots of stuff like that. And people were just amazed. They had never heard of a lot of these things and they wanted to know more. And we had a group of 50 people show up to this thing out of whatever. So I went to another open space a month later, did another session on it, tons of interest, wrote a blog about it, and there was a huge amount of interest in the blog, and it just started to realize there's something here that is resonating with people. Maybe the time has come for people to start realizing we've moved beyond certain ideas in Agile. And now let me be clear, I think there are evergreen concepts in Agile that will always be relevant. It's wisdom, it doesn't go out of style, there's no modern form of that wisdom. That wisdom was wise 10, 15, 20 years ago, right? But then there are the things that are practices that are just simply deprecated. They're not useful anymore. And if you're not a minimalist, right, then you just keep adding stuff. It's like, oh, no, we do that, plus that, and plus this, and plus this other thing. Like, we do it all.
We're doing Safe and Less and Kanban and Scrum and all in the same afternoon.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Because we can't possibly simplify. God forbid we'd be a minimalist, right? I mean, I believe the Agile, the lightweight methods movement, which happened in the mid-90s, came out of minimalism, out of being minimalistic, out of saying, what could we do without and still be successful? And there are a minimum of minimalists, I think.
But you can't sell a certification on minimalism, Josh.
Yes. Well, fortunately, I'm uncertified and don't certify anybody, so that's not a problem. But the amount of stuff that we have added to Agile, it's getting to be what we call now the Agile Industrial Complex. There's just tons of companies and tons of methodologies and frameworks and this and that. And the other thing, it's just lost its simplicity and it's lost its lightweight qualities. So I think what Alistair and I've been doing, I've been trying to get it back to a more lightweight approach where maybe there's a little more thinking involved. It's the recipes can be useful, but they can also make it very difficult for you to get past your early first implementation, right? I think people need recipes to some extent to know how to get started, especially beginners. But if you, a lot of times companies get stuck on that. Like they'll spread enterprise-wide some recipe, and then they're stuck. They can't actually.
Thou shalt must have 2 weeks sprints, and they must start on a Monday, and you must have story points, and you must report them to, all that kind of.
Standardization and predictability. Yeah. You know, it's just like a lot of these concepts start coming up, and they just have to take Agile and morph it into something that they can then sculpt and mold into what they want it to be. And they don't really understand what Agile is. Mm. And I think that it just it requires some, I don't know what it requires. It requires studying. You have to study what Agile really is. You have to understand what it is. And you ask 100 people what Agile is, you'll get 100 different answers.
Yes, you will.
It's incredible, right?
Mind you, I would argue Waterfall was the same. Everyone thought, when we used to talk about Agile versus Waterfall, and I hope too many people don't anymore, but you would argue to them, you're holding on to the standard that was never a standard.
Right.
Now Agile's become the, faux Agile, as you call it, has become the new waterfall in some respects.
That's what I'm seeing. I mean, and then people will say, too, that there's plenty of old waterfall ideas around, right? It's not just that we have faux Agile making things difficult. There's also lots of waterfall thinking still in place.
Still ingrained. Institutional memories. We talk about that all the time. You walk into institutions and it's the way we done stuff, we did it this way because we did it that way because we do it that way. I call it Forrest Gumping. Stupid is as stupid does, yeah?
Yes, exactly, exactly. And it could be, you bring Agile into a company, it's there for a little while, it's starting to grow. Then new executives come in and all they know is an older way of working, a waterfall style, let's say, and they say, forget this junk, that's fluffy stuff, don't get you anywhere, here's the way to go. Fundamentally, I think you just need to have very good financial numbers to show that the benefits of Agile really are worth the ROI. If you can't show that, then you probably are very susceptible to tons of change happening. But if like the secret sauce of the company is the way they work, no one's going to mess with that. Mm. They're not going to mess with it if they can see that this is what leads to the good ROI. It's just they'd be too dangerous. So I think for a lot of companies, it hasn't been clearly shown that Agile has really affected the bottom line. This is an area where I feel very passionate that if you're a businessman or businesswoman, you are paying attention to money. You better damn well believe you better be paying attention to whether you can afford to keep your shop open, mm-hmm. whether you can afford to pay people. Money's important, mm. right? A lot of people, methodologists and process people and stuff, like they don't pay attention to economics. And it really, I think, is a giant blind spot. I run a business, and it's taught me a ton, because you can't be too idealistic. At the end of the day, you've got to make money, and you have to make your customers really, really happy. Otherwise, you won't keep making money. So I think that one of the problems we see with we were just talking before we started the show here about, a company here in Australia that's kind of going through their shift from Agile to waterfall, back to waterfall. And I've seen this is in the States as well. One particular client of ours, we'd worked with them for 3.5 years, helping them get more and more Agile. At the end of the day, and they're a monopoly in their field. Were we looking at the macroeconomics of that company? Like, how were they doing? No. Did that leave them susceptible to a takeover by this private equity firm that said, forget it, we're going back to waterfall? Yeah, it did. This is where what my friend Ashley Johnson says, is that we're actually in the business of helping people, individuals, become agile, not giant corporations. The giant corporations are going to do whatever the hell they want to do. It's going to change and morph. We're helping people learn these skills. And
at the end of the day, it's people. And that's the interesting thing, is people talk about the culture change and they talk about the leadership having to change, and we need to unravel this. You see in those company examples, right? It only takes one executive or one buyout to often change a culture. But what's interesting, and particularly the organisation we're talking about here, is that I've seen the culture really hold up against that as well, because it's the people, right? The people have now got this point going, what do you mean I have to go and fill out a Gantt chart? I got rid of that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that stuff.
10 years ago. And so as long as someone's delivering, you'll find that people actually don't tend to question it too much. It's when the flip side is, like you're saying, we're not making money or we're not making traction, is when people do it. We get hold of hell onto these methodologies, but actually, you know, it doesn't matter what industry we're in, whether we're making, training videos, or whether we're, we're a bank or an insurance company or whatever it might be, or a utility. You know, what are we in business for?
That's right.
Certainly not to be agile.
That's right. That's right. No, the customer doesn't care for agile or waterfall. Mm-hmm. The customer cares if we're helping solve their needs really well, mm-hmm. right? So.
If you'd like to be slow and cumbersome and the customer likes that, then knock yourself out.
That's right. And this is why Agile is, I think, Agile has had problems because Agile doesn't really say what we're supposed to go do. Now, at Amazon, they'll tell you very clearly, customer obsession. They've been saying customer obsession since 1997 in their shareholder letters. And they truly mean it. There's a fellow speaker here at Yao who works there, and I've been talking to him. He's got some great stories about true customer obsession, right? I mean, this is they're not joking. If they can save the customer even more money, they will. It's an obsession that goes beyond just like asking the customer what they want. It goes well beyond that. It's anticipating that the customers will be, they'll act happy or be happy or say, I like Amazon, but secretly, they're waiting on something even better. From Amazon, like they're secretly unhappy, and that's what Jeff Bezos says. He's like, we are constantly obsessed. So, make people awesome is modern Agile's way of saying, let's be obsessed with our customers, and let's also be obsessed with making each other awesome inside our companies, right? So, both the external customer and the internal collaborators, right? Make people awesome is all about that.
So that's the interesting thing, I guess, about modern Agile is the word awesome is interesting. And it's one of the things that is probably the only word in that whole modern Agile where people, you see them sort of, their eyes lift up a little bit. And maybe it's just because it's a non-American type thing. But the word actually has this... You chose that word deliberately, I guess. It wasn't just, Southern Californian, sitting on the beach, hey, dude, I like the word awesome. There's a particular reason why awesome's been chosen, right?
I've chosen that word. It's inspired by Kathy Sierra. Kathy Sierra is a brilliant woman. She's the genius behind the Head First series of books.
Mm-hmm. Learned Java that way.
Yeah, right. Head First Java, mm-hmm. Head First Design Patterns. She won many awards for this stuff. She wrote a book called A Badass, Making Users Awesome. And that was all about her observation that a lot of companies will go after making an awesome product instead of an awesome user of that product. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful insight. It's a really important insight. And that's like, so if you make cameras, don't make a great camera. What do you mean don't make a great camera? Don't make the world's best camera. Make the world's best photographer. Focus on how can you make the photographer awesome at what they do. And so her book... subtitle is Badass Making Users Awesome. And yes, awesome is one of those words that doesn't translate very well. We've been translating modern Agile to a whole vast variety of languages. We just published the Indonesian version. Yesterday we published an updated Mandarin version. Mm-hmm. It's hard to translate. So is that the perfect word? Probably not. Some people love it though. Mm-hmm. So it's
Yep. Yeah, it certainly raises discussion, I guess.
It raises discussion. I know it's often used in various funny ways in other countries. Oh, how awesome. Very very sarcastically. But what we're talking about is awe-inspiring, and so it's meant to be one of those BHAGs, big, hairy, audacious goals from Tom Peters, In Search of Excellence, right? Those things that are just like, wow, if you could do that for the customer, it would be insane.
Yeah,
that's the concept. So what I believe though is whatever you call it, make people excellent or customer obsession and it's one of these things that was lacking in Agile, because Agile just says adapt, inspect and reflect and all these things. But towards what goal? Like, what are we trying to achieve? If we don't have those business results in our big companies, if we can't really make our users awesome, the money's not going to be coming. It's not going to be forthcoming, and we'll be susceptible to the next, process change. So it's important to have a clear idea of where you're going, what your purpose is. You may not know exactly how to get there, but if your purpose is to make the world's best photographer or the world's best user of your accounting software, right, where it's so wonderfully simple to do your taxes and it's safe to do your taxes and you feel like you're part of a community by using this software service that does your taxes, that's got your back, mm-hmm. right? you're not going to switch to another product. You're going to keep using it. You're going to tell all your friends about it and your family about it. Go use this product. That's what Make People Awesome is all about. So it's a really important concept. And then the other part of it is make safety a prerequisite.
Which to me, and I've said this to you before, is to me the real difference. You can see the and we talked about this before, Tony.
This is it. Yeah.
You can see all the links to the manifesto and the other ones. Deliver continuously is in there. Users first, customer collaborate, all those kind of things are there. But the safety one is the real. I think the real point of difference.
That's the resonator.
Yeah.
That's the one I think out of what you've done there.
Yeah.
Is the one that catches people.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, literally before Modern Agile, I was calling it onzineering, because, you may not know this.
I remember overseeing that one person going, what the hell?
What is that?
Is he just getting his head and falling over?
No, you should know this. If you're going to be a consultant with any bit of success or fame, you have to choose an obscure Japanese word and use it in a way that no one understands. So there's two.
We're going to talk about hot tubs, right?
Well, there's onsen, which is a hot tub in Japan. We're not talking about that. That would be nice, though. But there's onzen. There's onsen and anzen. Anzen is the Japanese word for safety. So I invented the term onzeneering, and that we were onzeneers because our focus was on building safety in. Now, really, what the idea there is that you can't make anyone awesome if you don't protect them, if there's no safety there. I don't care how awesome your feature is or your product is, or whatever. At the end of the day, if it endangers someone, they're never going to be awesome. So from a product perspective or a service perspective, safety is critical. It's also critical in terms of how we interact with each other. If we can't have psychological safety, that is our ability to disagree and ability to ask questions and just some of the basic ways that we can be ourselves at work, we're not going to be high performing. I was delighted to see, Project Aerosol come out long after I'd said this stuff and confirm that, yes, this kind of safety is super important to productivity and to high performance. So safety is one of those things, though, that's very hard to get right. I read some tweet yesterday about safety theater around, they were doing like hardening. it was like a month of hardening of the software before they could release it, right? As if that's we're being safe. We're doing hardening, right? Whereas I would view that as a sort of very, very primitive safety, right? I'd rather build the safety in, prerequisite safety, which is, we do test-driven development. We do lots of automated testing. We have sandboxes, and we're constantly testing. That's making safety a prerequisite. Doing it towards the end of a release where you have to wait a month before you can release anything, first of all, that's not deliver value continuously, another modern agile principle. It's kind of pathetic. But there's a lot of safety that's faux safety, fake safety. I'm working in a branch. I'm isolated from all those other crazy people. I'm safe from their changes until I integrate, until we merge, and then we have a whole bag of problems, right? That's not real safety. So when we say make safety a prerequisite, I would say a large number of people will misinterpret what we mean by this. What does real safety look like? That is, even for me, I've done things that weren't that safe, and I've learned, there's a better way to implement safety. So to me, it's like a dial. And, it's going to take all of us time to, really get that dial up for all four practices, all four principles, particularly in safety, understanding what it is, really practicing psychological safety, right? We made a poster recently to help in meetings, and it really just talks about five things we'd like people to do in meetings that we think promotes psychological safety. So it's a poster, and it's going to be available, it's a nonprofit store we have on the modernagile.org website. So it's a poster, and it just says some things about not interrupting people, listening to people, reviewing their points, encouraging everyone to speak, and being curious instead of angry when they say something you don't like. This is promoting psychological safety. So who knows if it'll have any impact.
And right. It's a great place to start too, right? If you can just get small teams of people practicing that and making it safe, well, then you've got a much bigger chance of changing the culture.
Yeah. I was talking to a woman down in Melbourne, and she said she wants the graphic right away to make a bunch of posters and put them in all their meeting rooms and see if it'll help. You know, I particularly noted that in a lot of places I go, women are interrupted. You know, just mid-sentence, boom, interrupted.
Yeah.
And it's just not, it doesn't lead to them feeling like they can be contributors because you just got completely cut off. So I think this there's a lot we can do with safety. But again, it's an art. It's an art of getting good at it. I'm trying to, like, write a bunch of articles these days. Every day I try to write a new article.
Yeah, blog a day.
Yeah, right? Blog a day,
you do pretty well, too.
I'm trying, you know, it has momentum to it, but it's trying to live that principle, deliver value continuously. Can I deliver something of value every day to folks on the internet? And I'm experimenting with it. It's a very interesting to talk these things. Another thing altogether to actually try them and see what does that bring to you. You know, what I find is that the more I write, the more I can write. Or the more I write, the more ideas I have. And so I start making a whole, like, I'm writing one thing, and then, oh, that leads to, like, three or four other ideas. Let me start those threads. And it's fascinating to just get your hands dirty and try it. I have this guy I admire, Gary Vaynerchuk. I don't know if any of you follow him.
Yep.
That man produces so much content every day and puts it out there, and people really value it. I know I do. And it's so trying to follow in some footsteps of some giants is this kind of thing. But yeah, so I think Modern Agile is just, the purpose of it is to help us get beyond old Agile or ineffective Agile or, you know, what appears to be Agile, but, you know, things like Scrum or Fall and stuff like that, fake Agile. We're just trying to shine a light on particularly stories of people doing awesome agility, right? For me, the principles, the four principles aren't really going to, like, change anyone. I give out the stickers. I hope people look at them all the time. But for me, what changes me are stories. When I hear people's stories and I resonate with them, then I'm like, oh, maybe I should try that, you know? Or examples of people doing things. So I am working on a collection of stories. Stories of modern agile stories. That is, stories about safety, stories about doing awesome things, stories about experimenting and learning. Right? I share lots of stories in this collection of experiments we've done that didn't go too well. And then we learn something. We're like, oh yeah, you know, it turns out if you release software when people are actually doing a software release, or sorry, when you give people e-learning licenses and they're in the middle of a giant software release, but you didn't know that, your experiments on them are not going to go too well because you didn't know what they were doing. Well, great. Maybe this teaches us a little, that little story makes me a better experimenter, because next time I go to experiment, I'm going to be like, let me make sure these people are ready to experiment with me, because I'm otherwise wasting my time. I believe little vignettes, little stories, little impactful stories can help us, it can inspire us to change. More so than, here's my framework. Here are all the practices in my framework. Like I the other day in Melbourne, I had the class sing together, Modern Agile is not a framework. And we all sang. And then again, Modern Agile is not a methodology. And then we sang that.
We just got the heading of the podcast, I think.
and notice I was in his class, and I let him just go on his own. I didn't even join in.
Oh, I saw your lips moving there. Anyway, yeah. So it is a community as well. I don't want to be the only person doing this stuff. More and more people are seeming to get involved now, and that's really wonderful. But it's a .org, Modern Agile is a .org. The fonts that we use are open source. The icons we use are open source. A friend of mine, Miguel Perez in Brazil, is kind enough to lend some of his time on the website and making the graphics and stuff like that. So it's community driven. We're facing a giant foe here, which is the waterfall holdouts and the unfortunately traditional or faux agile. So there's a lot of work to be done to try to inspire people towards what does real agility look like.
So what does this do to the manifesto though? I mean,
yeah,
Is it that we dead and buried? Because there are still good things in it. Like, I consider myself a 12th principalist, which is actually why I always came to modern Agile, because, continuous improvement. The whole reason Agile hasn't been dead and buried in the last 20 years is that continuous delivery came along and Kanban came along, and they all fit under that big tent of Agile.
Yes.
So what do we do? Do we just throw it out and say that was a 2001 idea? Or?
No, I don't think so. I think, so first of all, when I wrote modern Agile, as I said, I went to Prague, did an open space session, went to Berkeley, did an open space session, then I wrote a blog. At no point in time was I ever thinking about the Agile Manifesto. It just wasn't even on my radar in terms of what I was doing in modern Agile. Not at all. It was Carl Scotland in the UK who read my modern Agile blog post and wrote a comment saying, Josh, the four circles that you have, and back then it was a Venn diagram, those four circles kind of map to the four, the leftovers, as Woody Wazul calls them, that we value this over that, the ones on the left more than the ones on the right, and that they map to them, but they were maybe better at communicating the, his point was that they may be better at communicating the actual point. And I was like, that's an interesting point, Carl. And that was about it. But as I thought about it, as the weeks went on, I was like, maybe he's got a point there. Maybe this is the real, this really is the nucleus of modern Agile. And all the other stuff I wrote about in the blog, which was, there were 12 things in there, like the anointed 12, which now I look at it and go, nope.
Yeah, I'm not. So things like, there were things in there like blameless retrospectives and delivery.
Thou shalt do a blameless retrospective. Mm. You know what? Maybe not. Maybe that's not something you need. I'm not going to be the one to tell you. That would make it more of a framework or a methodology. With four principles, it's a very different beast altogether. It's simply, these are four principles that we've found to be very, very useful in helping us become Agile. That's all I'm after. So as far as the Agile Manifesto goes, I don't think it should be dead and buried. Absolutely not. It's a very valuable document. I think there's a tremendous amount of wisdom still in it. Mm. There are things in it now that we can totally pick apart. I was talking to Jeff Patton the other day, and it's like, our highest priority is not always to satisfy the customer through the continuous delivery of software. Sometimes a higher value thing is to work on an assumption. That is, we have an assumption, can we invalidate it?
Yeah.
Right? That's the highest priority thing to do right now. Mm. Because if we go ahead and build that thing that we thought the customer wanted, deliver it to them, right? And the first principle, the first of those 12 principles about continuous delivery, great, we delivered something they don't even want.
Yeah.
So more modern style is heavily influenced by lean startups, validating and invalidating ideas. It's very influenced by lots of UX techniques to just try things rapidly and validate them, all kinds of approaches. Like we do feature fakes sometimes. You are much more humble today in terms of knowing that you don't know what the customer wants. I would say if you do know exactly what the customer needs, if you know exactly what is needed, then waterfall makes sense. It actually makes sense. If it's super clear, there's no ambiguity whatsoever, no fogginess in the requirements, it's super clear what to build, just go build it. Literally, write a spec, build it. I would be testing as I build it, so I know it works, but not that different from waterfall.
Sure. Yeah. Well,
there you go, all things we didn't know. So what's next then? So you've been out, a few years now, you've been spreading the word, and I don't know what you're seeing, Tony, but I see far more people talking about it. It's in, I haven't been to Scrum class in a while, but I certainly know there are trainers out there who are doing, Agile 101 classes. Modern Agile comes up.
It comes up.
Discussion.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Companies are asking you for share and learns.
Well, I'm really hoping to empower more people to be able to, teach classes with it. So we started this activity catalog on the Modern Agile website. It's very, very embryonic at this point, but it really needs help. It's an activity calendar. What is that? Well, these are activities you can do during a workshop, right? So you describe each activity, and then people can use it to go teach their thing. Now, keeping that up to date is a lot of work. We got it started. it's not gone very far, but the intention is to empower people to help teach this stuff. I think, here's the thing, I think if Modern Agile can give people a way to make money, then we'll see more of it adopted. There has to be some kind of an industry there. It's not going to be a certification industry, though. It's going to be something that just adds to the education. So I'm very interested in that. They can keep that money themselves. It's not, there's no dues or anything like that. But these are thoughts we are having around how do we make this more global and helpful to people. Otherwise, it's just going to be something that was here and then something that's gone. I don't intend to stop talking about it for any time soon. I will be talking about it a lot. And I believe there's still a lot more to learn about it and a lot more we can learn about how to help people adopt these ideas. So tons more to do.
Excellent. And you're doing lots of other. So we're doing a podcast here, but you've got the Modern Agile Show, which is another place people can go learn more about as well.
Yes, that show's on YouTube. It's the hashtag Modern Agile Show. And having some fun with that, so yes, by all means watch it. I'm also blogging a lot, so
every day.
LinkedIn,
every day.
Twitter, so yeah, lots of places to learn more.
Because we got you tomorrow at Yao as well.
Yes, looking forward to giving the talk tomorrow, and then I'll give you a workshop in Sydney on Modern Agile on Wednesday.
Excellent. Well, I think we've walked into the party zone here somehow because the noise has gone up.
It's starting to get a bit overwhelming.
It's gone up tenfold. So. We could talk far more about you, but it's great to sort of just to get the lay of the land from you and not our uneducated thoughts and about trying to. And I know spending the day with you and I would encourage we have a lot of agile coaches listening to this. I would encourage agile coaches to get the opportunity to see you and spend time with you to learn about it. And if not, go look at the resources. The Modern Agile websites is full of. It's growing every day. Every time I go back, there's new things up there.
And if there's one thing I would say, do not be afraid to reach out to Joshua. I reached out to him on a whim and asked him if he had time to spend time with the company that I was in. And to your credit, you responded immediately. We organized. It took us a while to get the time zones worked out, but we got there, and you spent some really gratifying time. And whilst it didn't work out for that particular company, the people who were in that particular workshop all took away stuff they'll never forget.
So, that's great. That's awesome. Thanks to hear from that. Yeah, I'm happy to help. So you can hit me up, joshua@industriallogic.com, and find me on Twitter or LinkedIn. I'm happy to respond to messages. Let's just make this world a better place with better Agile.
So modernagile.org is where you find...
Yes, modernagile.org. You'll find a whole bunch of videos, books, all kinds of resources. We have a spinning wheel. So if you want to have that little...
Thank you very much.
Well, I thought it was great. You got a standing ovation.
That's awesome. That's great. The spinning wheel. It's an ongoing, growing resource there, modernagile.org. And there's a Slack community, a Facebook community. They can join if you go there and stuff. So,
fantastic.
But I guess the last question is that when you don't have certification, and by the way, I'm nowhere near an advocate. This is just I'm playing the devil's advocate here. How do you invalidate people who are spreading the wrong word about modern agile? Particularly one of the reasons I came to your class. Here's my reckoning for that was that I probably wasn't explaining safety as well as. And I don't think I was saying the wrong thing. It just probably wasn't as wide as it should have been. Is there some risk in this?
I don't think so because I was talking about safety 3 or 4 years ago, and I was saying things differently back then. Mm. I mean, it's people have said that that Scrum is modern agile, and I could argue with them about that, but I'm not going to because.
Because if they can adapt the principles to that thing,
if they can, more power to them.
Yeah.
I mean, go for it. Again, I'm a minimalist, so when I see things that have too many moving parts in them and stuff like that, my style is to simplify and reduce moving parts and frankly learn from our past. We used to do things, we did story points for 7 and 8 years. We dropped them for a reason. It's not just on a whim, right? We would go back to our customers and look and see, is this working for you or not? And, so I tend to follow a different approach. But if people want to try using the four principles with their existing process, more power to them, let them try that, right? it's Kaizen, it's continuous improvement. You know, there's no right way to do that.
Yeah, so, fantastic. Excellent, great way to finish. Well, Tony, if people want to know more, we know where to find Joshua. If people want to find more about you, Tony?
It's Tony at theagilerevolution.com.
Hang on, I'm Craig at theagilerevolution.com. And if people want to know more about Industrial Logic, and
come to industriallogic.com, come to our modernagile.org site, and yeah.
Reach out. So only one last thing to say. We do a little thing at the end of the podcast. If you're joining us in your the American version or the modern agile version,
Viva la revolution.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
Thank you.